Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. We ended up last week at verse 16, which ends by saying, "And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength." And to understand what that means, go back to Matthew chapter 17, to the Mount of Transfiguration. It gives us an important insight into what's going on here in the book of Revelation. In Matthew 16, verse 28, it said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Not until the Son of Man comes, but until they see it. That key word there, "see," means it would be a vision. And chapter 17, verse 1 says, "Now after 6 days, Yeshua took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves." What do those 6 days represent? The 6,000 years from creation until the day of the Lord. So there's a reason that the Lord put the reference to the 6 days in there. At the end of 6 days, it doesn't say on the 6th day, it says after the 6 days. So it's on the 7th day. That's when the revealing takes place. Verse 2 says, "He was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." So in a vision, Peter, James, and John see the second coming of the Lord as he bears the glory of God. And it is so bright that it's like the very sun itself shining out of the face of Messiah. If we go back to Ezekiel 43, we're going to find the very same picture. Whether you're looking in the New Testament or the Old, you see the very same picture. Ezekiel 43, starting in verse 1, has not yet taken place. This is one place where virtually every Christian theologian and Jewish theologian agree. This has not yet happened. "Afterward, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters." We saw that in Revelation 1:15. "And the earth shone with his glory." That's the same glory we saw in Matthew chapter 17. It's the same one we see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, and see why we needed that little review. Because verse 17, it says, "When I saw him," I being John. This is John the apostle who lived with Messiah for 3.5 years. "I fell at his feet as dead." What's that mean? He certainly fainted. He just fell out. Fainted. And you say it's a reference back to Isaiah 6. And there's a good reason to go look at that in Isaiah 6. Isaiah is the first of the prophets that I can think of at the moment that saw the second coming of Messiah, even though it was years before the first coming of Messiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." What temple? The temple in heaven. He sees the same thing that John sees in Revelation chapter 4. "Above it stood seraphim." Seraphim are angelic beings. They're flames of fire, actually. "Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew." Why does he cover his face? He's in the presence of the Lord, yeah. Why does he cover his feet? Because it's holy ground. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, Adonai Zavaoh. What kind of prophecy does that make this? An end times prophecy of Messiah returning to establish the kingdom. The whole earth is full of his glory. When does the whole earth become full of the glory of the Lord? In the day of the Lord. Verse 4, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, I am undone. What's that mean, for I am undone? I'm a dead man. Remember the old song by the Guess Who, She's Come Undone? It's actually from this. He says, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's Messiah Yeshua sitting on the throne. Cool. Back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, meaning he was fainted dead away. And remember, he saw the transfiguration, and this was more glorious even than that. But he laid his right hand on me. Why the right hand? What does that signify? The hand of strength and power. Yes. So he gives John the power to get up off of his knees and stand up, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, meaning I am the eternal one. I was in the beginning. I will be in the end. I am the first and the last, meaning what? He existed before all of creation. He will exist long after the new heavens and the new earth into eternity future. Verse 18, he says, I am he who lives and was dead. When was Messiah ever dead? Oh yeah, there was that crucifixion. He died. He was buried. But he says, who lives and was dead, meaning is dead no more. How can somebody who is dead be dead no more? Resurrection. And behold, I am alive forevermore. That is no more death, no more sorrow. All that's been done away with. And then he says, amen, which means so be it. Or write it in stone. In the movie, The Ten Commandments, Pharaoh says, so let it be written, so let it be done. Same thing. It says, and I have the keys of Hades and of death, meaning he decides who will burn in the lake of fire forever and ever, and who will live eternally. Let's chase a few references here. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. It's right after Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, meaning he was born of flesh and blood to be able to be beaten, to be crucified, to die, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So with the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah, Satan is defeated. Satan no longer gets to decide who lives and who dies. It's the Messiah's job. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Notice he came to set us free. Let's look also at the book of Luke, Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, Verse 43. Luke 23:43. Messiah was crucified between two criminals, both of which at the first blasphemed him, but one had a change of heart. And that one in verse 42 says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Verse 43 says, and Yeshua said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Did Messiah have the authority to promise that? Yes, he did. On to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 25, is going to quote a writing of David, the king of Israel. It says, for David says concerning him being Messiah Yeshua, I first saw the Lord always before my face. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. How many of you have been to Jerusalem? Did you visit his tomb? He's still dead. It says, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, who was a prophet? David was. And knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Messiah to sit in his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Yeshua God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, so to make your enemies your footstool. So Peter, in his sermon on Shavuot, which is sundown tonight till sundown tomorrow, used the occasion to say, yes, it was prophesied 1,000 years before the birth of Messiah, that he was going to die, he was going to be buried, but he was going to be resurrected, that God would not leave him in the grave. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. There are still heretical teachings out there that Messiah was never a real human being, that he was just a spirit pretending to be a human being. You can't nail a spirit to a tree. Ephesians 4, verse 8 says, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, that is when Messiah rose from the dead and ascended up to the heavenlies to be at the right hand of the Father, he led captivity captive, that is, all those from the time of Adam up until the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah that had died as believers in faith, believing that God would do as he promised in Genesis 3:15 and send the Messiah to be the Savior of all mankind. He led them up to heaven. And he gave gifts to men, talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. That as he died, his soul went down into Sheol, his body went into the grave. Verse 10, he who ascended is also the one who ascended far above all the things, all the heavens, that he might fill all things. That word fill is plural, as Daniel has pointed out. Let's look also at Revelation chapter 20. There is no doubt who this speaker is. It is our Messiah Yeshua, who died for us on Calvary's tree. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it. That's Messiah. That's the one that Isaiah 6 saw sitting high on his throne in the temple. From whose face the heavens, the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, meaning young and old, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if we go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, he tells us, I am he who lives. And we read about how Messiah was risen from the dead, ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, to receive the kingdom and to be the judge of the world. And behold, I am alive forever. Amen. He says, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. That's what we're reading in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. That Messiah will eventually cast death and Hades themselves into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So Revelation 1:19 says, write the things which you have seen. What does he mean, what you have seen? That's the things in chapter 1. You saw Messiah, you saw him in his glory. And the things which are, that's chapters 2 and 3. What we call the church age, the seven letters to the seven churches. And the things which will take place after this, that's chapters 4 through 22. So let me ask this ridiculous question. Is the book of Revelation in exact chronological order from beginning to end? The answer is no, it's not. What we're going to find is chapter 1, John sees a vision and he writes that down. That's what was. And then he's going to write the seven letters to the seven churches, which were in his day. Where are those seven churches? In Asia Minor, which is what we call Turkey today. Is Turkey a big Christian country? No, it's a Muslim country. And each one of the seven churches receives a letter that says, if you don't repent, I will remove your candlestick. Just something we will keep in mind as we see. And the things which will take place after this. Imagine how confusing a book Revelation would be if God wrote chapters 4 through 22 in an exact chronological fashion. This verse, he'd be looking at something on earth. The next verse would be something in heaven. The next one would be something on earth. And you'd never know what he was talking about. So it will take a vista, like it will look at the raptured and resurrected saints in heaven for a few chapters. And then it will look at the very same time period, what's happening on earth. So the time periods will be the same. They're not necessarily chronological. And I'm going to help you go through that to understand the order and when things happen.
Not only that, but there's like an overview in 9 to 11 or 12 or something.
Yeah, there's foreshadowing and there's reviews and all kinds of things, yeah. Verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand. Remember, he saw seven stars in Messiah's right hand. which makes you think either they're little stars or they're really big hands. But it says, and the seven golden lampstands, not a menorah, not a seven-branch lampstand, but they're seven individual golden lampstands. And here he's going to explain it. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. What you've got to understand is in Hebrew, the word angel means a messenger. Doesn't have to be a seraphim or a cherubim. It just means someone speaking forth a message from the Lord. And in this case, those seven stars are the seven pastors of the seven churches. Yes, ma'am. Do we have the same thing today? I'm not sure what you're asking. I guess the best answer I could give is to say it's the same. The same. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 5 and see if we can understand this a little better. Matthew chapter 5. When I sit up here and I read the Word of God and I do my best to explain it, I'm being God's messenger to try and teach His Word to the people.
So you're a star. He's an angel.
Okay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I'm just a husa, he who sits up front. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Referring to the believers, those who believe in Messiah, who trust God, who want to walk in His ways. He says, you are the salt of the earth. What's a salt do? It's a preservative. It preserves. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Now, salt can't lose its flavor if it's real salt. But if it's being used as a picture of us, we can lose the salt if we stop teaching the ways of the Lord. He says, it's then good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So it's a warning to us, don't lose the saltiness of the salt. Verse 14 again says, you are the light of the world. Here's where the candlesticks comes in. You're the light of the world. What are we as believers supposed to do but to preach forth the Word of God so that other people can learn and the light can pervade the darkness? It says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. If you're on the Sea of Galilee and you look north toward the mountains, there's a city right up on the top that Messiah is talking about as everybody's looking at it. You can't hide that city no matter what you do. It says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What do they mean by your good works? Your obedience to the commandments, sure. Okay, let's go back to verse 20 in Revelation 1. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. The sun generates its own light. The lampstand reflects the light in picture. So the purpose of the seven churches is to preach forth the light. Messiah is the light. He's the light of the world, John chapter 8. His light is the life of men, John chapter 1. Okay, let's get ready for chapter 2 for these seven letters. But before I read the seven letters, I want to read to you from the Liberty Bible Commentary. Page 792. Paragraph Roman numeral 2a. says there are seven churches chosen because in Scripture, seven is the number of completion. And that is true. There were other churches on the Roman road. These seven churches are on the Roman mail road in order from start to finish, but there are other churches. He picks seven because seven is the number of completion, and it represents all the churches down through the age. So it says in the commentary, in these seven letters, the Spirit gives a complete picture of the moral and spiritual history of the church, along with other truths. The letters have seven exhortations to hear them, yet they are sadly neglected. The messages have spiritual, historical, and prophetic value, and they do. They have all three. Since chapter 1 dealt with the things John saw, the risen Messiah, and chapters 2 to 3 treat of the things that are, then they are pertinent to the church age from Pentecost or Shavuot, that is sundown tonight, to the rapture. Each letter has four elements. Number 1, the manner in which Messiah presents himself. Number 2, the commendation or condemnation that he gives. Number 3, the reward he promises. And number 4, the exhortation to hear. What's an exhortation?
Encouragement.
Encouragement? Strong encouragement? What do you got, Melanie?
I want to know churches. What is that, the correct word? Is that what's used today? What was the real word in that was used? The churches.
Yeah, what would it have been called then? It would have been called congregations. Would have been called congregations or assemblies. The word in Hebrew is kahal. Kahal.
But of course, Revelation wasn't.
Yes.
We have,
yes, Revelation was written in Hebrew. But we went over all that last week. You're just jerking my chain. Okay. He likes to do that. I'm such an easy target. Number 1. Verse 1, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. So to the angel is to the pastor of the church of Ephesus write. This church is special to the heart of John because this is the church that he pastored for so many years before he got shipped off to the island of Patmos. Since John has been gone and the leadership has been taken over by non-Jews, they're already beginning to move away from the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God that John taught and that John emphasized. So he's looking forward to hearing how this church is doing. He's been away. I'd like to tell you that he's got a nice cell phone ring call and see how they're doing all the time, but he doesn't. It says, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand. Who is that? That's Messiah. We just saw that. Who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. That is, he walks in the midst of the congregations, the churches. Well, we know that. What's it say in the scripture? When two or more are gathered together in my name, what's he say? I'll be right there among them. That's right. And verse 2, I know your works. What does he mean by your works? How you live your life, whether you're being obedient. In other words, he knows everything that's going on in that little group in Ephesus. Your labor. They're trying to share the gospel. He knows that. Your patience. That means they're suffering tribulation and persecution. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.